Everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer. I'm the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, as well as the host of this broadcast, Empowering Homeschool Conversations, that is hosted by Sped Homeschool. We just thank you for being part of our community and joining us in these weekly conversations that we have that we hope empower you to home educate your learner at home that may be struggling in some areas or maybe struggling in a lot of areas. But we're here to encourage you, equip you, and to help you just have the resources that you need in home educating so you feel like I can do this. And that's why we're here. So I see people are already popping on. Excited to see you here. I know this is a different time than we normally do it, but we're glad that you found us. And just know that you can pop in and say where you're from and any questions you might have, all of that throughout this entire conversation. That's why we do go live. And so you can put that in the feed either on Facebook or YouTube, wherever you're watching from. If you are watching on the Empowered Homeschool Network, just know that you have to click into the YouTube video in order to make a comment. If you make a comment on that platform, it'll just stay in that discussion on that page. So we want you to definitely be able to reach us. So pop into that YouTube video and watch us from there. So we are continuing our discussion about preschool this month and super excited about this topic because as I was going and speaking at homeschool conferences right after the pandemic, we found that our whole demographics of homeschoolers had changed in that small time period. And a lot of the parents who were coming in to conferences were coming in with children that weren't even school age yet, which we had never seen before. And they're saying, we're going to homeschool from the start. We want to know how to do preschool, and we want to know how to get our kids ready for kindergarten, first grade. So we knew that our resources on our website and our YouTube channel were kind of lacking in that area. So that's why we're focusing on preschool this month. And it's why I asked this very special guest we have today, Leilani Melendez. I am so excited to have you here. I just thank you for taking time to join us on our broadcast and to share a little bit with us about some of the things that you have learned. And we're talking about advantages of homeschooling a child with special needs just into these preschool years. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say. And I just thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we would love to just kind of get to know a little bit of your story and your family and just maybe how your homeschooling journey started so that our viewers can kind of get to know you a little better and some of your background as we kind of go in through the questions, I guess, helping give them a better understanding of who you are, where you come from. That'd be great.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So my name's Leilani. I am a homeschool mom, obviously. I have four children. And the oldest one is 12. The youngest one is 5. The youngest one has Down syndrome. There's four. So he's 12, 11, 8. And then the two girls are 8 and 5. Wow. So we are just now entering into kindergarten, but it still feels like some preschool material.
Hmm.
So I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So a little bit about me. I was a public school teacher for 10 years and a private school teacher for 10 years. And I decided to homeschool. I was a believer right from the get-go, Christian right from the get-go. I was saved before I went in as a teacher, but I always felt like this emptiness when I was a teacher and I wanted my own children. I wanted to teach them. But when I saw my kids, you know, as babies growing up and just, you know, you think about those things when you're in school, like what is my child going to be like when they're here? And just really a lot of deep thinking. It was just, I'm going to homeschool. And so when my second son was born, I went ahead and I put in my resignation. I went ahead and finished out the year because I had already started it, finished out the year. And then we just decided to start homeschooling.
Wow.
And even, well, the oldest, it was, I mean, I guess it's homeschooling. He was preschool. I guess right. Three. The oldest one was three, but I was a stay at home mom and there was a lot of sacrifices that we had to make. We had to move into a smaller home. My husband, I'm one of the lucky ones where my husband was, when I told him we were going to homeschool, his response was, it's about time. Because he knew that we needed to homeschool before I did. And he said, I mean, him and both my father said, very supportive. They said, if anyone was going to do a good job, I know not everybody has this luxury.
Yeah.
I'm very, very fortunate. But if anybody was going to homeschool, you can. So that encouraged me. It gave me a lot of motivation. I started going to school conventions, reading everything, learning as much as I can, made a lot of mistakes.
We all do.
Made a lot of mistakes. So my oldest son, I don't really talk too much about him, but he actually has ADHD. He's growing out of dyspraxia, but he also has OCD and anxiety disorder. So I didn't know that until he was a lot. I mean, I kind of suspected there was something going on. We actually, we did get him tested for autism. He did not pass the test. Well, I guess he did pass the test. He wasn't diagnosed with autism. And, but he scored like 1 point from that. So they just put, you know, and then it was, I almost regret getting that evaluation done because it was very traumatizing for him, but it was really difficult. But because of that, I mean, it helped me understand a little bit more what's going on. And we also were able to get him a scholarship. And so, you know, that was right. Good.
And it's kind of nice you point out those things too. Yes, it was traumatizing. Yes, I learned something. And I mean, so there's positives and negatives on either side, and parents really do have to weigh those. And especially when, because I'm assuming he was younger when you did those.
We did it when he was in fourth grade.
Okay. I guess,
younger.
Yeah. But yeah, it's always a toss up as to, you know, is this going to help me? Is this going to, you know, traumatize them? And you kind of just have to go with wherever you have peace, and then just know that yes, maybe it was traumatizing, but we're going to get through this and God's going to cover that. And you know, that's where we're going to go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it helps me understand him a little bit more. I myself have ADHD, so we could completely relate to each other. and I can kind of share him some ideas, like things, ways that I worked through things. But but then my youngest came along and it was kind of, it was easy. It was easy to decide to homeschool her because I already had three that I homeschooled already. And I was confident at that point, but she is definitely, it's ups and downs. It's, you just have to get to know her and it does. And so that's actually why I started the YouTube channel, because I wanted to bring awareness to kids with Down syndrome, but I also wanted to bring other parents that have kids that have any disabilities, that it is possible to homeschool them. And, you know, that's
just
a big deal.
That exposure and that encouragement. I mean, so many people just, I mean, once you use, I mean, you can hear, but when you see, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, it just brings that realization. Maybe it's not as hard as I'm picturing it in my mind that it's going to be. You know, we have all these premonitions of things, and then you just kind of embrace it. And yeah, we at our family camp, the young man doing our photography had Down syndrome, and he was the life of the party for the entire week.
And
yeah. So, but
she is too.
Yep.
But yeah, that's my motivation behind it. It's definitely different homeschooling her than it is with my others. There are challenges, but there's also a lot of things that are easier. I've noticed. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we go into a lot of things just expecting everything's going to be hard. And so that's a nice realization for you that, oh, yeah. And maybe your boys were harder in some other areas.
Yes. And Hannah, yeah, the third child, the daughter, yes. Mm. A handful too.
Okay. It can be boys or girls. Yes.
Yes, I know. I just...
It was just, I had two older boys and yes, oh, yeah. they were hard.
Yeah. It's almost like there's challenges in anything you put your hands into when it comes to homeschooling. There's always the challenges.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think we can kind of tend to look at it with, you know, it's all going to be sunshine and roses, or it's all going to be like awful and we're going to be, you know, just running away from our children. But there is a happy medium in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we just go with the ups and downs.
That definitely is
the way to look at it. I would love for you to start our conversation just on homeschooling advantages for special needs preschool by sharing with us some of the unique circumstances that have surrounded your homeschool preschool years with your daughter.
Well, I think the biggest thing would be the flexibility.
Hmm.
So with Naomi, I mean, I'm a big supporter of therapies, especially getting the therapist that meshes best with you.
Hmm.
And having her at home during the preschool years, we're not scheduled to go to school during the day. And we have all this extra free time where we can pick and choose which therapist is best for her, which one she meshes well. And we've been through a couple of therapists. And usually the ones that are really good have mornings open quicker.
Huh.
So we're able, you know what I mean? Like, because you're going to school at that age.
Yeah.
So the mornings are free and you can just slide right in there. Oh, I have, you know, at 8 o'clock open. Can you come?
Mm-hmm. She's up, right?
and it's nice because we're able to also bring the other kids, and sometimes not. We kind of play with the schedule a little bit. They can be a part of the therapies, and it's just more like a family affair. I love therapies. And I know some people, you know, will say it's not necessarily homeschooling, but the therapists that I work with, they have me in there with them, and they're teaching my siblings how to work with her.
Yeah.
Or her siblings, not my siblings, her siblings how to work with her. And it's like, you know, her speech therapist always says, whatever you guys are working on, we're working on here in the clinic. And so I'll come to her and I'm like, we're studying butterflies this week. Can we do butterflies? Or I'll bring in Naomi's favorite book of the week that she seems to be, you know, fixated on. And we'll work with her talker and learn vocabulary. And even the speech therapist now is showing me some things that'll help her with her reading skills. And so, I mean, that's just the support that you get and the flexibility and the fact that you get to pick and choose which therapist. You can try them out. You have more time. I mean, of course, there's doctor appointments that you can, and a lot of, we had heart surgery. She had heart surgery. And so there was a lot of cardiologists, a lot of blood work, a lot of those things. And we didn't have to worry too much about missing a day of school. And the therapists are flexible. They can schedule a different time, and they can schedule over summer. I know in the public schools, you know, it takes a while for the therapist to get with the kids in the beginning. You know, they got to do all the paperwork. And then, of course, when testing comes around, then it starts to taper off at the end of the year. And so you don't get that full year of therapy. In this situation, we've got that full calendar year, not school calendar year.
So you're not catching up. And that whole lag
There's
time.
No breaks unless we get sick. And if we get sick, we just reschedule.
Yeah.
So that has been the biggest draw.
Well, it makes it less stressful on you as well as your child too. And I love that you found a therapist that works with your kids and really trains you too. That is so important. We talk so much about that team approach, and your therapist bringing your kids is making them part of that team too. Yeah. Your daughter has this huge support system with your entire family, and it's being cultivated.
And actually yesterday, I think I don't, oh no, my, nope, it was Friday. She had speech therapy, and the therapist, I actually brought her in with no siblings because my husband was home. Uh-huh. She said, can you bring Hannah in next week? Because Hannah has instilled something so beautiful in Naomi, which is pretend play. And she was telling me how she doesn't see that pretend play in other children. Oh. But the fact that Naomi's home with her sister and they're doing, you know, dolls and doctor and kitchen, and her sister's eight. So there's a 3-year difference, but her sister has taken such ownership of, you know, she's like, I am the sibling.
Oh,
my sister had a play. And I don't like pretend play.
I never did either. Yeah.
So I let Hannah do all the pretend play with her. And so that's one of the huge benefits of having her at home with the siblings.
Too. Yes. When we noticed this on our family retreat, somebody took me aside. I can't remember who it was. And they said, you know, the difference between homeschool families and public school families that have disabilities, the siblings actually enjoy their sibling with the disability. They say, we don't see that normally, which broke my heart because, you know, as a homeschool family, we learn to embrace everybody instead of just sending them off to their own little pockets, you know, and schools, and saying they'll just deal with you, and then we'll just come together, maybe have a meal, and then, you know, survive with one another at home. And that's just a beautiful picture that you have given us of how your family cultivates that. Yeah. I love it. And that flexibility really does. You need time, not just just quality activities to make that happen. And that free play is so important. And so that's awesome that she has a sister that that enjoys that.
It's so interesting because each of the siblings have a different kind of relationship with her.
Hmm.
So one of the brothers is super protective of her. Huh. I mean, almost to the point where I don't have to worry.
Right.
In fact, he gets on my case. He's like, Mom, we're not watching her right now. And I'm like, she's in the playroom. She's fine.
Right.
Right next to her. What if she falls? Like he's very protective of
Aww.
Her. And then the older brother likes to teach her and read her books and spend time showing her how to do things. So he's funny. He wants to be a teacher. I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool. And you're cultivating things in each of those children too, that, you know, empathy and, you know, their own skill sets that, you know, a lot of times we miss when we don't take advantage of those, that flexibility in our schedule and just allowing that play to happen and that interaction instead of saying, we got to get to the books. We got to get to the next thing, next subject. Yeah. And yeah. So for the next question though, schedules.
Schedules.
So how do you handle scheduling and what is the advantage of scheduling too with homeschooling preschool?
So that, I mean, that comes down to all the therapies. We're able to schedule them whenever, but right. We do try to stack them so they happen back to back in the same area the best that we can. And I think that happens because we're so flexible. We can do that.
Yeah.
We are able to pick out our co-ops, fit in our dance, but also still have Hannah takes dance class, and the boys are taking archery. But we're able to fit in those extracurricular activities and still have that time at home with dad and mom. And actually, my husband has a very unique work schedule. He's actually a paramedic. So he goes to work 3 days a week and he'll go to work at 12 p.m. So he has all his mornings free with us. And that's usually the time that we're able to do family Bible studies. And, you know, sometimes we'll split it up where he takes Naomi to the doctor's appointment or therapies. And then I stay home with the kids. And so we're able to just kind of maneuver things.
Right.
Having other people tell us how to do things.
Yeah.
Except his job. But
yeah, exactly. He gets some time constraints, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And yeah, nowadays with the price of gas, the more you can stack things in a certain area, the better.
Yeah. She has her physical therapy, occupational therapy, and her aqua therapy all in the same area. Her speech therapy is a half an hour away. So that one's the only one that we have to really, we're able to stack that one too. I also have my mother-in-law who comes once a week. I always joke and say it's per marriage counseling that she has to come to, or marriage, I'm sorry, not counseling, per marriage certificate. It's written in the, you know, when we got married.
Right, you're right.
I know that I have to have my grandkids once a week. So she actually comes to our house and marriage contract. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
She comes to our house once a week and she'll watch the kids and she'll take Naomi to therapies and, you know, I'm able to have a little bit of time to myself or just able to focus on the other kids. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great help too. And again, that's another part of your team that you built. So you have a great supportive team that, you know, just hearing you talk about all the different therapies and just activities and family too. So it's, that's what makes it doable. I think we try too much sometimes to do it on our own. And when kids are little, we just think, well, you know, it's just preschool, but sometimes, you know, fitting those things in where they need them and building that community for yourself is so important because you're educating yourself. Like, you know, you talked about when you first started homeschooling, you said, I did all the research. I went to the homeschool conferences, but when you have a child with a disability, you know, with Down syndrome, there isn't a whole lot of resources out there, especially for homeschooling. Right. And so you're equipping yourself, with those different things.
It takes a lot more digging.
Yes.
But when you find that other family that is in the same situation as you, it's like you get each other.
Yeah.
And see, exactly. I'm even thinking too with parents that don't have that family support system, there's other people out there in the same kind of situation that they can connect with. I mean, I've heard of stories where it's almost like a commune situation where, you know, the moms come over to the house and they cook dinner together and they teach together. Mm. You know, even though they don't live together, they're still able to help each other once or twice a week. And I think it's our pride sometimes as a parent, we don't let ourselves to let people in to help us because we want to prove that we're by ourselves. You kind of mentioned that and it reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a lot of pride. Yeah. We think I can do this all myself and nobody has to, you know, we'll make it look picture perfect. We had a comment from one of our viewers called World Homeschool. And she said, I'm a homeschool mom with three special needs daughters. I just recently started an Instagram page for our homeschool journey. We're so excited for this year. Well, I hope, I'm excited for you too, you know, and make it real.
Yeah.
I know Lilani does.
It was Homeschool World. Is that her Instagram?
Yep. Homeschool World.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to write that down.
So yeah, we'll definitely have to follow you. Yeah. but yeah, the more exposure we can get out there that this is, I mean, it's doable, it's workable. I mean, that's what our organization really, we founded on it. Cause I remember going to homeschool conferences and I say this a lot. And I'd come home crying. It's, there was nothing there for me. And, you know, and even the support, it felt like, you know, yeah, I had to have my child in college by the age of 12 and that wasn't happening. So there are so many in our community and to just be real that, yeah, the house isn't perfect all the time and the kids don't always behave all the time, but boy, we're learning and we're learning what's important.
Right. I try to show that on my channel. I do. It's funny because people, you know, start judging you and they start getting kind of nasty with the comments, but I try to be real, as I can get.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I was going to say with my mother-in-law, back to the whole pride issue, in the beginning when my mother-in-law was very insistent about spending time with her grandchildren and telling me that she's here to help, but she had to really push her way. And we fought so much. And I don't think it was until we had like the worst argument ever. And we both had to humble ourselves and admit that we were wrong, both of us. And it was all hugs and all those things that we were able to overcome that pride. And I'm allowing her into my home. Like, I don't even care what she does. I'm like, the fact that she's here is huge. And the fact that she wants to, because there's so many parents that don't want to be a part of their parents were too old.
Yes. My husband's the youngest by 19 years. So by the time we had kids, they just couldn't keep up. Yeah. And then my parents ended up adopting 14 or yeah. And so I have 14 siblings, 10 who are adopted, and my parents are still raising kids now. So it, yeah, but yeah, I, to have that help, and it does take some humbling too, because you're allowing somebody into your house who wants to have a say. I mean, it's their grandkids, but yeah. And they have learned life lessons, but it's hard.
It is hard. But it's funny because we work together more now and with her. And I mean, she takes Naomi to therapies and comes home and she's like, so the therapist told me to work on this with Naomi and she wanted to pass this along to you. And I'm like, great. You know, and so then I'm able to, so we communicate all the time. And it's just, I mean, I think once you put aside your pride, especially with in-laws, there's such a blessing that comes from it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's very biblical too. Yeah. Lay down our pride. Yeah. So yeah, those are really good lessons. It's just sometimes really hard to learn.
Oh yeah. Like I said, big fight. Like it was bad.
So let's jump into curriculum a little bit. Okay. What can you share with us about advantages homeschoolers have in this area in teaching preschool?
Well, with preschool, I mean, you have choices. That's, I think, the biggest thing instead of, and your hands are in it. So when you're teaching your kids, like, let's say you just, let's pick, you know, we handwriting without tears, which is a great curriculum. We use that for
I used it for all my kids. Yeah.
So I'm learning to teach Naomi. I'm learning, you know, proper ways to hold a pencil, the pressure, all those things. And I'm watching her respond to my teaching. We're connecting. I was talking to her occupational therapist about all of these things. She would give me input, and it was because they only work what, once or twice a week, with 2 hours a week,
right.
And you're basically the therapist. You know, they're just training you. They're not they're training you. But I'm able to see what she needs to work on, and so I'm bringing that, you know, outside of the curriculum. And, you know, maybe we're sitting in church and she's drawing and I can gently correct something, or walking, and maybe there's, you know, little things here and there that you think of, because it's in the forefront of your mind. You're thinking about it often. And it also brings you closer together with, you know, and if the curriculum doesn't work, and it's not working for them, like if it's not their learning style, you can chuck it. And find one that does fit. I mean, we had a situation where we were in that situation. It wasn't handwriting without tears, but there was something we tried, and we tried it for 2 months and it was just not working. So we checked it. It wasn't her learning style. And even I'm really close with her OT. After talking to her, you know, we both decided it just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah.
And so now we're doing, so we did handwriting without tears. Also, you can make up your own curriculum with preschool, because then it just gets a lot of Play-Doh and finger play with the paints and the, that's all fine motor skills and creating letters with Play-Doh and finger paint. And I mean, handwriting without tears, and these magnet things and building the letters. And I mean, you don't have to be married to a curriculum either.
Exactly.
You don't have to have a curriculum. You can just go play with the mud outside and make sure they don't need it.
Right. Yeah. So. But yeah, the possibilities are endless. It's, you know, just knowing what you basically kind of should teach before first grade or kindergarten, you know, and then just kind of work slowly on those things in a creative, fun way. curriculum really isn't all that necessary. I remember very early on, somebody had told me, you should homeschool. And so I went to a homeschool conference and she got me this book. I can't remember the name of it now. Hopefully it'll come to me. But it was like everything your child needs to know before first grade. It wasn't that. But it had a lesson every week from the time they were born until their first day of kindergarten. Slow and steady, get me ready is what it was called.
Okay.
And it was super cheap because you can buy it used just about anywhere. And it had a lesson every week and it was with stuff around your house. And it had things it showed me very easily that, we can do this without, all the extra stuff. But I do have to say that learning without tears, even since when I last used it, that handwriting, their curriculum they've added to it even more. And it is quite impressive. Just all of the hand things they have and not even with grip. And so, there are some really good ones out there too.
We're using So Happy to Learn right now, which was have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
So that one was actually written specifically for Downs.
Okay.
So it's really good. She has videos all online, sample lessons, and it's very flexible too. So
very cool.
Yeah. So you can start it. You can start it at 3, 4, whenever you want to start it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's neat.
Yeah. It's really neat. It's teaching them how to read. And she, there's training involved with it. She shows you typical, with Down syndrome, they do sight words because they missed that developmental stage. I can't remember what she called it, but something with speech. They missed the phonographic, I don't know what stage it was, but because of that, they sight read. Typical. Yeah. Obviously there's an exception to everything.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like when you pointed out earlier that, as you do this curriculum, you are so observant as a parent outside of even the teaching, structured time with the curriculum, it just becomes a way of parenting that those correct things. So like the pencil holding, the crayon holding, the speech. I'm sure you're talking all the time. And so you're working back and forth with those types of things. And, as these therapists work with you and, you're building off these curriculums, you're just incorporating that into life. And so it isn't just, like you said, an hour or two a week. It's like immersive it does make a huge difference in helping children progress faster.
Yeah. So another thing that I thought of when you were talking earlier about you don't have to have a curriculum, one of the things my mother-in-law has really pushed to teach her is to teach her how to clean.
That's a great thing to learn.
And I realize that's a life skill that they're going to need. Some of our kids with special needs, they're never going to go to college, realistically, or, they're never going to, maybe they'll never learn how to write, but their skills, life skills, like cleaning, that needs to be done and they're capable of doing it.
Yeah.
So why not make that into a curriculum? My daughter does dishes. She loves it. She loves to vacuum. And she's 5. But if she sees any dishes in the sink, she brings over her step stool, stands up, turns on the sink and starts scrubbing away. And it gets messy. And I'm like, not right now, please. Cause I always have to stand next to her when she does it. That's one of her things. And folding laundry for many, many, many weeks. She doesn't do it as much anymore, but she would wake up in the morning, go to the laundry room, pull out the laundry basket, dump it on the floor, and start organizing all the clothes.
She's
5.
Yeah.
And she folds them. The best that she can, she'll fold them. It's a blessing. It sometimes gets annoying, but I'll take the blessing.
Yes, exactly. It's all in how you look at it. And
And that's a curriculum, sort of.
Yes. It really, no, because if you don't do it then, what you're going to do is it's structured as a teenager and then they resist it. So you might as well do it when they want to do it and teach it. Yeah. When it's not probably as easy, but those skills will be then there. And so when they do get resistive, at least it'll be something that they know. And you can say, well, I know you know how to do that. Yeah. Oh, that's such a huge advantage. Definitely. Yeah. And we've kind of already tapped into the sibling thing. Is there anything else that you wanted to add into there?
I think I just jumped right into talking about that. Modeling those kind of things that they do. Let's see. Yeah, no, I think I covered all of the siblings. Yeah.
Well, that's good. You know,
it's nice. Oh, I just thought of something. But it's nice to have the siblings, like you mentioned before, love working with their sibling that has a special need.
Right.
Because they're also going to be bringing that into the world.
Yeah.
So there's awareness. And they're also more sensitive to people that have struggles and the more empathy, more patience, and they're bringing that to the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I have a friend that was a sibling of her brother had severe autism. She was homeschooled and she has grown up and she's the manager of a home for special needs that are so severe that the parents can no longer take care of them. Wow. I don't know what it's called. I don't know the technical term, but she's in upper management and she cares for them as much as she cared for her brother.
Yeah.
So they bring that into the world and I love that.
Yes. Yes. I know I've heard from so many parents sometimes that they, and even on our family retreat, one of the moms was bemoaning just, you know, how much her son is missing. And, you know, a lot of the moms rallied around her and just said, but what is he getting? That's what you have to look at because he's getting a whole lot. And we don't always think about the positive impacts. We always look at the negative of, you know, yes, sometimes we have to sacrifice, but in life, eventually we're going to have to sacrifice. And so learning that lesson within a loving community that shows through their own example what sacrifice looks like and how to do that well and to love people through struggles. That's what you're, you know, modeling in your own house and they're learning from it. So, yes.
But I will say they do argue.
They're not perfect.
They're not perfect. They get jealous.
Yes. There's
jealousy that happens. Why do you show more attention to Naomi and not me? You know, that happens too.
Right.
But someone once said to me, sometimes it's good for siblings to argue because they learn how to work it out.
They do. Yes. Yes. When I thought my boys would eventually kill one another and then we had a tactic of them. Yes. And eventually I didn't have to do anything anymore because I taught them how to actually negotiate and probably too well. They can negotiate with me a lot. I can't get out of it.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Don't send your children to debate. You will lose all the time after that.
My son is taking a debate class this year.
Oh,
it's okay.
Yeah. So one of the other advantages that you wanted to touch on, and I'd love for you to talk about, is sharing your family's belief systems and how to connect what you believe, especially as a Christian, with your daily lessons in teaching, you know, preschool and having a student with, you know, a disability at that level too. And how does that all look for your family and what things do you have to share?
I mean, obviously, we know in the public school, they're not going to be teaching a biblical worldview. So what's nice is, modeling, it comes back to modeling again, because we're going to be in the Word, we're going to be doing scriptures, we're going to be doing holidays and festivals and stuff like that, are based in scripture. And she's a part of that. This is one of the things that kind of sparked me into thinking more about this is I had a person comment to me that they felt like children with special needs were never going to be saved, which The worst comment I ever heard, but it
That
really got me
is.
about
Oh.
because obviously that's not true across
Right.
the board.
No.
But then how do I need to adjust? I mean, obviously a preschooler, regardless if they are, you know, if they have special needs, they're not going to be learning hardcore apologetics and, you know, they're not going to be delving into Hebrew and the Greek. That's not going to happen. But how are we going to be teaching them at such a young age at their level about who God is? I mean, I believe God's going to do most of the work himself, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's going to use us. And so I've been trying to focus on little things like, oh, look, God made this, showing her how we pray together as a family, how we read the Bible together as a family. A lot of her curriculum, So Happy to Learn, even though that is not I mean, it is, the lady who wrote it is a believer, Christian. It's not based in Christian teachings. It's kind of general, but we'll create books on our own. We have a book, because that's the whole purpose of that curriculum, where it says God made. Well, you made your books, basically. So we have a God made book. And so we go through God made Hannah and God made Naomi. And so we put those things in, because I feel like she understands the concept of make and made.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll talk about Play-Doh, or if we're baking together, or if we're growing something, this is us making what God made you. We'll talk. That's one of the big things I work with her on. And then also integrity and how we treat each other in the home, forgiveness. Yeah. You know, if somebody gets hurt, we show empathy. I don't know what it is, but she's so full of love that every single person she meets is her new best friend. And so we go places, like even yesterday we went somewhere and she found a person. We went to like one of those jump places. She found a girl there and just clung on to her the entire time. She was best friends. So just her showing empathy and love, that is a fruit of the spirit. That's a trait, you know, that is biblical. And I want to reward that. We've gone through some of those. I love Ginger Hubbard. I don't know. Like, we've done some of those things with the older kids, but I've brought a lot of her teachings down to Naomi, where I'm using some of those words like patience and, oh, no, I can't think of any but right now, but using biblical words, biblical vocabulary with her.
Yes.
So start to understand a little bit more. And just even more so, we have to, it's not a separation of this is Bible time and this is school time, but even more so, I'm trying to integrate those things across everything. And I have that privilege because we homeschool. But I'm more, I feel like I'm more thoughtful about it and purposeful. Because, I mean, not that that comment was true, but it got me thinking that I do have to do things possibly a little different.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, God's going to take care of it regardless.
Exactly.
And everything, you know, so. And obviously that statement is not true, but.
Exactly. Yes.
It was very thought provoking. Why would someone do that?
Lack of understanding and just God's grace and how he works. And, you know, he made each of our kids, and that doesn't surprise him that they would have, I mean, most of our kids have such that simple, you know, to have faith of a child. That stays for the rest of their lives. And how beautiful that is. We make religion and faith so complex that, you know, God is very simple about that. And and actually our children with those struggles should remind us of that, versus the opposite of, well, they're not going to be able to, you know, to get all those apologetics down and, you know, be able to recite all the verses, but you know what, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
I don't foresee her having a debate on evolution and creationism, like, anytime soon. So You know, we can hold off on the apologetic statement.
and we say hallelujah. Yeah, let's just talk about Jesus.
Exactly.
So yeah, it is refreshing. To embrace that and to embrace that you can integrate that and to look at it that way, as you know, preschool, anywhere, the beauty of homeschooling, to be able to integrate your faith. And I love that you pointed out too that it isn't just Bible time,
right?
You know, yeah.
And it's how we treat people. Just every aspect of my life is inspired by him. So
yes. Yeah, yeah. Those character traits you were talking about, you know, those are the simple ways to understand the nature of God and how it's lived out, and how we're asked to live that. As you study it and point it out and all those things, it makes it more real, touchable, you know, relatable. When sometimes they just feel so abstract if we just talk about it, you know, in a book and say, well, yeah, this is a way we need to behave. And when we do this, yeah, it's more as we're doing, sitting, standing, anywhere we go, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, those are all amazing advantages. And you gave such a unique twist to each of them. I love that. Because, you know, sometimes we're like, oh yeah, you have the flexibility, you have, the curriculum, all of this. And then we kind of start delving into it, into the regular days, and go, wait, because then we have this structured view of what we should be doing. But you gave us a beautiful picture of what that looks like in your family. So thank you for just being open and sharing that, because we often just get muddled when we start thinking about the details and how does that actually play out? So I appreciate that and transparency. So you have some resources. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. And then we have some viewers on. If you have any questions for Leilani and want to throw those into the Facebook feed or the YouTube feed, we would love to entertain those at the end of the broadcast. And if you are just thinking preschool, or you have a general homeschooling question that you want to stump us with, we'll take you on. So you gave me a couple links. The first one is your website. What can our viewers find there?
Okay. So I actually wrote a book, so my book is in there. They can also find links to my YouTube channel. I do a newsletter once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And let's see, I mean, I do evaluations, homeschool evaluations for the state of Florida, which is illegal by law. That's one of the things the state requires. It has to be a certified teacher to do it. And so I do it. It's awesome. Nice that I don't teach anymore, but I still hold on to my certificate specifically so I can bless homeschool moms. And so it has all my information about that in there for Florida. And, links, there's some resources. There's things like handouts and how to organize your day, how to organize your portfolio, little principles.
So
we'll have some of those on there.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the podcast, the website is livingwitheve.com, just to see, because you won't be able to see it on the screen for the show. So yeah, that's a lot of great. And the testing, I want to point this out to parents that, you know, if you have a homeschool mom testing your kids, they have much better insight than those who are not homeschool moms. And because homeschoolers test different. And if it's an advantage to have somebody with a homeschool background that is testing, because our kids just don't answer questions the same as public school kids do, and the way the tests were created. So sometimes they get answered a little bit different, and usually testers know how to look for those types of things. So.
Right. And I actually, so in Florida, you could do testing or you can do the portfolio. Mm. So the portfolio is just like a flip through of their work. But the testing, I've used the Cat 5 and the Iowa, but my favorite tends to be the Piot. I don't know if you're familiar with the Peabody.
Peabody, yes. My kids use that because we were required to test in Minnesota. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I like that one because it's oral. The kids don't, sometimes they feel intimidated. I try not to be. But it's more relaxed. It's not timed. And I'm not qualified to diagnose anything. But when you give that test, not only can you see the holes in their, you know, if like they're struggling with division, it's going to show up and I can say, you know, they're struggling with division. But if there is dyslexia or dysgraphia, there's like little signs through the way the test is written that'll kind of highlight that. So then we can have a conversation. It's happened many times where the parents have been so frustrated that their kids are excelling in this area. Well, then I give the test and we have that conversation that there could be a problem with this. Lo and behold, they get tested and there it is, you know, and the parents feel so relieved. They're like,
exactly.
Now I know what to do or where to go.
Yeah.
So they get direction. Yeah. And that's one of the benefits for getting your kid tested.
It really is. Yes. Cause oftentimes, and especially those ones where they can kind of squeak by or, you know, and it's like, they're just being, you know, uncooperative or resistant and we can blame it or my teaching's bad. You know, we either blame ourselves or the child, but we never think, oh, maybe it's just something that we need to start working on or accommodating for. I remember when my son did a test and what a relief that the tester actually took me aside and said, noticed he got tired through the test. And she's like, that shouldn't happen. And I was like, oh, okay. Cause you know, we're so busy with all the stuff going on. We don't look for those patterns as much. Right. And so the testing does really help.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
So then your YouTube channel.
Yes. Living with Eve.
So what kind of videos do you have on there? Just so our audience.
I have like 400 videos on there. There's a very large collection of videos. It's everything from me sharing what it looks like in our home to curriculum flip throughs. I do a lot. I'll even get deep and talk about struggles that I have, struggles that other moms have. We'll talk about therapies. I'll show what our physical therapy looks like, and I'll show footage of our aqua therapy. I talk about what it was like when I found out my daughter had Down syndrome, you know, a lot of reality in there and a lot of tools. So it's just a mix, so to speak. And now I'm really focused in with my channel. We've been doing lives where I'm talking about homeschooling from a biblical perspective and getting our minds, like, because a lot of us were public schooled.
Yes.
And we keep going back to those habits that aren't necessarily good for our kids because it's comfortable for us. And if we're really wanting to do biblical homeschooling, we've got to sometimes get out of that. So I've been talking a lot about that lately. Also with special needs, I think the next one is going to be specifically geared to families that have children with special needs.
Cool.
So,
And that biblical perspective.
That's having to do it.
Definitely some voices that need to be heard. So I'm glad you're doing that because there's just not a lot of content out there.
I also have some funny videos too.
Yeah. That's good.
A little lighthearted. I mean, you know, it's home, it's homeschool.
Right. So. Yes. Yeah. The things your kids say and the things that they do or the things that I do. Yeah. We've been there, done that. So definitely make sure to tap into Eve's or to Leilani's resources. I'm Living with Eve, her website, and then Living with Eve, the YouTube channel that she has. So, thank you for just everything that you shared tonight. This was such a fun conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Fun.
And it's so good to talk about preschool, and and the dynamic you gave us too was how to do that with older kids as well, which I think a lot of times that's when parents are just, you know, told, well, just give the kid toys, you know, and teach the older ones. But when you have a student that is, you know, has a disability, some sort of special need, that you have to go above and beyond that. And, and you found a way to incorporate that all together and to do it beautifully. So, just thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for all that you do. It's definitely a blessing to our community to have you. Too cool. And thank you, audience, for joining us this evening. I know this was a different time than we normally pop on, but it was great to have you with us still. Normally, we broadcast on Tuesday afternoons from 12:30 to 1:30 Central. Next week, we're actually going to be bumping it up a half an hour early, or I'm going to be on the road and I have to give a presentation at 1:30. So I guess noon to one, and then I'm going to quick run to the presentation I have to give in the hotel and after I leave my hotel room from doing the broadcast. So yes, you can join me on the road. I'll be broadcasting from St. Louis next week. And yeah, we're going to talk about Preschool 101 with Julia Nally of Biblioplan. And she has been working on this talk for over a year. She actually booked this almost a year ago, but it's a new talk that she's just poured her heart into, and a lot of research. And she's homeschooled all of her kids and developed the Biblioplan curriculum too. So she's going to have a lot to share with us. And so I'm excited to keep this conversation going this month. But yeah, so yeah. Any closing comments, Lilani, as we're taking off?
Enjoy the process. Enjoy the journey.
I like that. Yes.
Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey.
Yes.
Yes, because, yeah, people always told me it's going to goes too fast. And I thought, no, it's not. And now that I just graduated my youngest, I'm thinking, yeah, it really did.
It's a season.
It is. It's a season. And it shapes you as much as it shapes your kids. And mm-hmm. it's worth mm-hmm. it. It's definitely worth it. So, all right. Well, thank you all. Thanks for joining us and for just your continuing support of SPED Homeschool. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. So if you visit our website at spedhomeschool.com, you can give a tax-deductible donation to us. Just click on the donate button, and we appreciate that and appreciate your support for our nonprofit work. We'll see you all next week. Have a great week. God bless you all. And we'll continue the conversation next Tuesday. See you then. Bye, everybody.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.